Thank you so much, Chris and Lisa. God bless you all. That reminds me, those are the words. I don't know if it was that song or if it was another one, but those are the words that the Lord was using when He was calling me to ministry. I remember driving in the car and hearing it may have been that song. And that's what I was ready to say. That's what God was doing in my heart. I was ready to raise my hand and say, "Here am I. Send me." That's especially meaningful to me. Thank you so much. God bless you all. How many coffee drinkers do we have here today? Raise your Wow. My goodness. Okay, how many of you all like half and half? Wow. Okay, not near as many people that are coffee drinkers like half and half. Well, I'm one of those that likes half and half. I like that half and half in my coffee. Now, don't get excited. We're not about to bring coffee in here or anything. It wasn't to make your order. You know, it can be a good thing to be half and half. That half and half, that's a good thing for some of us. I love it. Many do. It can be a great thing, but then when you're dealing with a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you're dealing with a relationship with the Lord and your relationship with the Lord, half and half is a bad thing. Half and half turns ugly. I know you don't want to be halfway following the Lord, and I don't either. I hope you're not, and I hope I'm not half and half as a Christian, half doubting, half trusting, half the time not diligently following, half the time following. I don't want it to be like that, and I know you don't either, and it's not a good thing. Jesus spoke about it. You might remember in Revelation chapter 3, you remember Jesus said that anybody who's lukewarm, if you're going to follow me, if you're just lukewarm, if you're just kind of halfway there, just half-heartedly following me, if you're half and half as a Christian, he basically, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he basically said, that makes me want to throw up. He said, "I will spit you out of my mouth. You're lukewarm as a Christian." He said, "Why don't you just be hot? Give me all of yourself, all that you are to me. Or why don't you just be cold? That's what I would prefer. And you just step away." But this half and half bit, it makes him want to vomit. It makes him want to throw up. And so it's not good as a believer, as a Christian, to be half and half. Now at Starbucks, I'll ask for the half and half. I like it, and I did the other day ask for it. But not in my life with the Lord. Now, some of you are half-heartedly following Him. I asked John Allen, my oldest son, we were on our way to school the other morning, and I've just been reading in the book of Acts and just seeing that new church as God just formed the church and it started, and how excited everybody was and how all these people believed and all these things. And I've just kind of been there in Acts and spiritually. So I was asking John Allen, we were on the way to school, and I was asking him, I said, "John Allen, what do you think the difference is?" I said, what do you think it comes from that this difference that there is in so many different countries and then here in America?" I said, "Look at the difference, John Allen. You know, there's the New Testament church. It just started. These people are excited to believe and they're committed to the Lord. They've given their lives to the Lord and they're dying for the Lord everywhere. And then you look at America, and you look at our culture around us and our churched culture around us, And there's something missing. And then you go off to a foreign mission trip. And if you've ever done this, you probably had this experience. And I went to Venezuela, and the hunger I saw for the gospel was amazing in some places that we went. And then you may have heard different stories. I heard a gentleman, I can't remember where he was from, what he was, a missionary somewhere. And he was telling me about them having this baptism. They were going to have this baptism. And he was here from America, but it was pouring down rain and they were going to have all these people baptized. And, you know, he got up that morning. He's like, oh, man, you know, now, you know, not hardly anybody's going to come. It's an outdoor baptism, you know, at this river that people have to walk for, I don't know, probably might have been hours or something, and miles that people have to walk. And it's rain, pouring down rain. You know, this American missionary is thinking, oh, you know, no baptisms, or, you know, maybe somebody will show up. Well, they all came, everybody that was supposed to be baptized. They came through the mud, the sludge, pushing through that rain. And they were baptized, walking all those miles. It was important. They were committed. They were wholehearted, committed to the Lord. And I was asking John Allen, well, what do you think the difference is? And I love what you said, John Allen. I love what he said. He said, you know, maybe we take it for granted here. The gospel is all around us. There's so many churches, and maybe you grow up hearing it. Maybe you've heard it all your life. Maybe you had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, I thought that was a great point. Maybe we take it for granted. Maybe we're so saturated with the good things of the Lord that we take it for granted. Here's an example of, I believe, how it should be. Here's an example of, I believe, what the New Testament is telling us all through the book of Acts, what the church should look like, what I should look like, what you should look like. This was from a young pastor in Zimbabwe, Africa, and this is what he said. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. And he was later martyred for his faith. But he was committed, wasn't he? He laid it all on the line, and in the end, he did give his life. He had wholehearted devotion, didn't he? Let's look at somebody else that we see wholehearted devotion in. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. And let's look for a moment at Caleb. Let's look at Caleb's life. Joshua 14, and if you're new at this, that's in your Old Testament. That'll be at the beginning of the Bible. You've got the book of the law. That's those first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then you'll see Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 14. And real quick, let me just let you know what had happened. About 45 years ago, before what we're about to read, about 45 years ago, this man named Caleb and Joshua, the leader here, they were a group of men that were sent out by Moses to go into this new land, the promised land, go spy it out, check it out, bring back a report, let us know what it's looking like. Well, Caleb, this man we're about to read about, he came back and he reported, you see, the people in the land were huge. They were tremendous. It looked like from any any human standpoint, looking at what was in the land, their fortified city walls and how large the people were in this land, it looked like, okay, we need to go home. Forget this. We're not going to try to take this land. That's what it looked like. That's what it appeared to be. But you see, this man named Caleb, he stuck to his convictions. He stuck to what the Lord was saying. And it didn't matter to him how big the people were. If the Lord said they're going to have the land, then he believed it. He was wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And so he came back and he gave a report according to his convictions. You know, we can take it. The Lord's with us. Joshua was the same way, but they were the only two. This other group of men, they came back saying, oh man, no, no. They put fear into the hearts of all the people. Said, we can't go in there. They have these huge walls. The people are huge. There's no way we could take it. And of course, Israel was punished for the next 40 years. And none of that generation would ever get to go in that land because of what they did with that fear, except Joshua and Caleb. And here we are 45 years later, and the land has now been conquered, and Joshua, he's their military leader. He's been leading them through this land. They've been going through this conquest and taking the land that God has given to them. And now they're dividing it up. They've made their conquest. Now they're dividing up the land. And that's where we find ourselves in Joshua 14. Let me read verses 6 through 14. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, you know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Wholehearted devotion. You see it right there in Caleb, don't you? You see wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Caleb reminds me, or this African pastor reminds me of Caleb. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Well, what does it look like? Here in this brief passage of Scripture, we see a few things. What does Caleb's wholehearted devotion look like? Well, wholehearted devotion keeps convictions. Wholehearted devotion keeps convictions. We see that in verse 7. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. He kept his convictions, didn't he? He stuck to his convictions. Let's pray before we go on any further. Father, we just ask that you'd speak to us. Lord, thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, please speak to us. Get me out of the way. We need to hear from you. Make our hearts soft and receptive. Let us take what you tell us and put it into practice. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. He kept his convictions. What is my convictions? What are your convictions? Well, that's your deep beliefs. It's what you believe the Lord is telling you in your heart. It's what the Lord was telling him. It's what he knew to be true, your convictions or what you know to be true, what you know the Lord is telling you in your heart. And he knew it to be true that the Lord would give them the land. And so what does he do? He acts according to his convictions. He knew it to be true and he acted. He kept those convictions and acted upon them. What is the Lord telling you? You know deep within your heart what the Lord wants. You have convictions that he's put in your heart. You know what he wants. Are you acting in accordance to your convictions? Are you speaking in accordance to your convictions? Do you keep convictions? Do you operate according to your convictions, to what the Lord tells you at any given time? Do you operate according to that? That's the question for you and for me this morning. Or do you let them go? Sometimes. Do you let your convictions go sometimes? There's another word for that. It's called compromise. Do you compromise your convictions sometimes? Well, we need to keep our convictions. Wholehearted devotion keeps convictions. The second thing we see in Caleb is wholehearted devotion ignores fear and follows. Wholehearted devotion ignores fear and follows. Follows what? Follows those convictions. Follows what the Lord wants, what you know deep within him that he wants. Wholehearted devotion ignores fear and follows convictions. It follows. We see that in verse 8. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. My brothers did this, but I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. You see, he had every reason to be afraid. That was the natural thing. That was the normal thing. That all of his brothers that were in the same boat as him, they had the same God of Israel over them too. But they gave in to fear. All of his brothers were fear. But he said, I'm not me. I'm going to ignore fear and I'm going to follow my convictions. And so you see, it may take ignoring fear, or there's another name for that, great courage. It may take you ignoring fear or great courage to operate according to your convictions that God has placed within your heart. His brothers gave in to fear and spread their fear to others. Are you a person that gives in to fear and spreads it to others? And then other people become afraid of what you're afraid of. His brothers did that. They spread their fear to others. They said the people are large. And that was the truth. They had a reason to be afraid. It was true. But they had a choice. They could have done what Caleb did. They could have ignored these fears. But they said the people are large. You see, anytime we fear, whatever you fear, I don't know what you fear. I know what I fear. I don't know what you fear. But when we fear, you see, that's not from God. Fear is not from God. You see, God says, you have not been given a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you've been given a spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. You have a daddy in heaven who's above everything. So God's saying, you don't have a reason to be afraid. You've got me. Scripture also tells us, which when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So God also tells us, you have not been given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. God also tells you and he tells me, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And then we know the countless other times that God says, fear not. Fear not. You see, fear is not from God. When you fear, that's not from God. He's the opposite. He says, don't do it. He gives you all these passages of Scripture. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, the sluggard says in his heart, there's a lion outside. Or, we'll be murdered in the streets. What does it mean when Proverbs says that? Well, obviously it's a man with convictions. He knows what he needs to do. He knows deep within what the Lord wants. But what, instead of ignoring fear and following and doing his convictions, doing what the Lord wants, instead of ignoring fear and following his convictions, what does that man in Proverbs do? He steps outside and he said, "Oh, there's a lion outside. I know what I'm supposed to do, but no, there's something that could harm me. I'm giving way to fear. Or I'll be murdered in the streets." No, you've got your excuses. You've got your fears. You know what your convictions are. You know what the Lord is telling you. And you know what you come back with when you say, "Oh, but this and this. Or this could happen. But what about this?" He followed his convictions. I need to follow my convictions and ignore fear. You do too. You do too. Wholehearted devotion not only keeps convictions and ignores fear and follows, but third, wholehearted devotion is rewarded generously. Wholehearted devotion is rewarded generously. Wow, that's the fun part. That's the good part. You see in verse 9, we see it in verse 9 and then in verse 13 and 14. "So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" And then you skip over to 13 and 14. "Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance." So before it's just a promise in verse 9. And then in 13 and 14, he receives all these wonderful blessings, this inheritance. Why? Because wholehearted devotion is rewarded generously. What's the result of it? When you keep your convictions and you ignore fear and you follow your convictions, what's the result? Reward. You're rewarded generously. A great inheritance will be yours for you and for your family. For your family after you, that's what will happen when you are keep your conviction, you ignore fear and you follow. An inheritance will be yours. Because why? Why did he get this inheritance? Why did he get this blessing? Why will you get an inheritance? Why will you be rewarded generously? Because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly. When you follow him wholeheartedly, that's what's in store for you. You followed him wholeheartedly. You see, you will be blessed by the Lord. That's what was told to Caleb by Moses. God really letting him know through Moses, you will be blessed by Joshua. And then we see it in 13 and 14. And it happens. Joshua blesses him. And so you'll be blessed by Joshua. Well, you know what? You know what the name Joshua means? It means the Lord saves. And you know, the Greek form of that name, Joshua, is of Yeshua, is Jesus. It's the Greek form of the name. So you see, when you follow him in obedience, when you keep those convictions, yes, Caleb would be blessed by Joshua. And today, yes, you will be blessed by Jesus. You will be blessed. You will be rewarded generously by Jesus. You will be given an inheritance by Jesus. Obedience always. And I'm not talking about your future inheritance. Yes, that'll be incredible. I'm talking about right here, right now. Every time you obey, you will be blessed by Jesus. Obedience always brings blessing. And finally, wholehearted devotion lives by faith. Wholehearted devotion lives by faith. We see that in verse 12. And I love how the wholehearted devotion is rewarded generously first. Then we come to wholehearted devotion lives by faith. You see, Caleb kept his convictions. He ignored fear and he followed. And then he was promised, now here's your reward. You have an inheritance. You have a reward. You will be blessed. And then When he knows that, God has told him, and it's the same for you today, it's true for you today in the same way, then wholehearted devotion lives by faith. Then he lives by faith. You see, he's promised the land, but in verse 12, we see he's asking for it. Verse 12, he's saying, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But," now he's saying, "the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." You see, the promise has already been made. He knows he's going to get the land. So now he can live by faith. He can know he will drive them out just as the Lord said. That's faith. That's faith. That's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Wholehearted devotion lives by faith. And so he said, "But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." You see, with the Lord helping me, and with the Lord helping you, you can do anything he wants. With the Lord helping you, you can do anything he wants you to do. Anything he calls you to do. Anything he gives you a conviction about. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's through him. So summing it up, if the Lord said it in your life this morning, a conviction, if the Lord said it to you, if he's speaking it to your heart, then you need to have convictions. Keep those convictions. And here's what you need to say. If the Lord's spoken something to you, you need to say, "I have convictions that I'll keep. I have convictions. I'll ignore fear and follow and be rewarded generously." And you can say with Caleb, "I will drive them out and live by faith." Perhaps there are some enemies that need to be driven out before you can take possession of the inheritance that is yours. God has incredible blessings for you right here, right now. He has incredible things that he has waiting for you, that he wants to give you. Just like he promised Caleb. But there were some things that had to be driven out. But they were going to be driven out because it's by faith. And perhaps there's some enemies that need to be driven out before you can take possession of the inheritance and the blessings that God has for you. Maybe you need to say today, "They are big. These things that are standing in my way from me receiving what the Lord has for me, they are big. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Are you following the Lord your God wholeheartedly this morning? Do you have wholehearted devotion? Well, get rid of the half and half and start now. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, and ask that you'd help every one of us. Lord, if there's somebody here today that, Lord, you have spoken to their heart, the conviction that they know about is that they are not saved. If there's someone here that knows that you are drawing them to yourself, that they have not fully given their lives to you, that they are holding back. And Lord, if you are telling that person in their heart that you want them to give you their life, Lord, help them, Lord, as we sing this song, give them the courage, Lord, to step out in that aisle and to make that public and to come down and say, "I'm giving my life to the Lord. I'm tired of this. Wholehearted, I just give you my life, Lord. And I want to be saved from my sins. I want you to come into my life. I want you to save me, Jesus. And I thank you that you've already done everything necessary. I believe, I trust you. I'm coming this morning asking you for that." If that's you, you come when Chris leads us. Father, Lord, maybe there's someone else that just is going through a tough time. Lord, they see all these giants in their life. Lord, they see all these hindrances, these multiple things that are keeping them from your inheritance, your blessings in their daily life, Lord. Lord, help them to step back into the simplicity of wholehearted devotion to you. Help them to step back and say, Lord, you helping me, I will drive all these things out just as you've said. Lord, you're the one who wants these blessings for me. And you're the one who desires to give them to me. So I trust you to drive these things out. And I will drive them out just as you've told me. Help that person, Lord. Empower them. And I thank you that you will do it as they follow you in obedience. Lord, if there's someone that needs to join this church, Lord, may they do the same thing. Step out of their seat and come and follow you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come, whatever decision the Lord's calling you to make, respond to Him. Come and share it. Make it public.